Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Season 2, Episode 27 of the Thistle Rugby Podcast, the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. How are you guys doing? I'm David and we are back at full complement. I have got Alan to my left. How are you, pal?
Bloody great.
How was New Zealand?
Good. Meeting the Mrs. Rents and wider family.
Very good. You passed the test?
No, but it's fine. Thankfully, it's not her family's choice.
That's good. Did you manage to rein in most of your really bad behaviour?
50%. 50%. Only the drugs and alcohol remained.
Oh, that's okay then. And over there is Matt Hanney. How are you, man?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good, mate. It's nice once again to have three of us back.
It is.
Didn't feel the same.
Yeah, mate. Sorry about ruining your engagement.
Yeah, that was a shame.
My mum got sent congratulatory messages from her friends.
That is a great result for everyone involved.
It was a good one. You played it well. I was actually planning to do the exact same thing with you when you were in New Zealand, but beat me to the punch. But
well, we will consider that a victory for the Thistle. Thanks again for joining us. We had a week off last week, guys, so thanks for coming back and listening to us on iTunes or on the Acast podcast app or wherever you are. We are currently trying to get ourselves onto Spotify podcast as well, so you may be able to get us there soon enough. You've been chatting to us loads on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, and our Instagram following is going through the roof at Thistle_Rugby_Pod. As always at this time in the pod, I'm going to ask you, if you do enjoy what we're doing, please leave us a review on iTunes, 5 stars, and we will read it out on the pod. How about this one from Blue VK and a Straw? He says, it's a wee rugby gem. Richard Cockerell might have implied that Edinburgh private school boys are soft, but to be fair, they can make even the most dismal of London commutes vaguely tolerable. If, like me, you're still clinging on to that semi-decent under-16s Bruin Dolphin Cup run as a rugby highlight or enjoy quizzes about obscure Scottish centres that time forgot, then this is the pod for you. I think that's the best review you've ever had.
God. I'm clinging on so badly.
he's hit the key features there.
That is exactly what we offer.
Yeah.
So thank you very much. If you let us know who you are, we will buy you a Blue VK one day.
Yeah.
We will follow up on that promise. Right. So we are going to do a skip through of the news from the last 10 days or so, some signings and some bits and pieces on the Super Six, and then three Thistley issues for you. Number one, what went wrong for Edinburgh against Cardiff on Friday on Saturday night? Number two, what is the latest on the Super Six? And number three, can we expect wins for Edinburgh and Glasgow this weekend?
Can we not talk too long about point one? Because point the Edinburgh Cardiff game might have been the most painful Saturday night of my entire life.
Yeah, well, Matt and I were at a wedding together, and we were just sort of periodically checking our phones, and it was just you swearing about how bad Edinburgh were, basically.
There's something severely depressing about watching an Edinburgh Cardiff game on your iPhone on a Saturday night by yourself.
Oh my God, that's a fuck commitment to the pod. Thank you very much for that. Let's start with some news breaking today. Edinburgh have signed Italian pop Pietro Cesarelli from French side Oyonnax. Do we know anything about him?
Fun fact, he has never scored a point in his professional career.
In his whole professional career?
I mean, he's only been playing since 2010, but yeah, 8 years.
8 years?
8 years. He's never scored a single point.
Well.
What else do we know?
I mean, the Wikipedia entry is really threadbare. It's three sentences. I'm not even joking.
The Edinburgh announcement did give a little bit more detail.
He's had 11 caps for Italy.
11 caps for Italy. He made his, he featured against Scotland when we played them in Singapore in June.
Okay.
Featured, so didn't start. He has played for the Rome-based Lazio Rugby Club, La Rochelle, Federal 2, which I believe is the fourth tier of French rugby, a side called AS Macon, then went back to Italy to play for Zebre, and he has joined Oyonnax at the start of this season.
And Oyonnax, I think, are going to get relegated this season. So,
but hey, Richard Cockerell says, Pietro is a combative tight head who's had experience playing both the top 14 and on the international stage. His arrival next season will only add to our strength and depth in the front row. So
I mean, he's just kind of listed facts.
The Edinburgh
probably competitive because he's a prop and he has experience as a professional rugby player.
Yeah.
He will be a selection option.
The Edinburgh rugby team have handed him just like, this is what you need to say at your next press conference.
He says he's very much looking forward to giving his all for Edinburgh. So that's all we can ask for, isn't it?
I mean, he's been dreaming about it. So I guess historically, if you were going to get any player from Italy, a prop's the kind of most... The position you'd be most happy
lots
with?
Lots of scrummaging in top 14 rugby as well.
Yeah.
Loads in Federal 2. The fourth division of French rugby is all scrummaging.
I have so much faith in the Edinburgh prop analyst.
Well, that's true. I was just going to say that.
He uncovered the diamond in the rough, Daryl Marfo.
Simon Bergen.
Yeah.
And continuing on the Edinburgh prop theme, Jamie Lyle of the BBC reported earlier this week, or it was middle of last week, that Edinburgh are going to sign, it's not been confirmed by the club yet, a South African under-20s prop, Pierre Schumann, who I do know a little bit about. He is a loose head, which is a number one. Very happy about that. He has started all five, there may be six now, of the Bulls Super Rugby fixtures this season. He is not tied to South Africa, despite playing for their under-20s, but he would need to qualify for Scotland through a 5-year residency program. So it seems that possibly Richard Cockerell's not entirely happy with his front row options as they currently stand.
I guess it's Al Dickinson just looks like he can hardly give you a game, and especially because Nell, Dell and Marfo are all pretty injury prone.
And then there's a big gap from sort of like very promising youngsters like Murray McCallum coming through, but
yeah.
There is a bit of a gap there. So,
and I think, aren't they planning to change the rules in South Africa where you can actually still play for South Africa but be outside
the
Super Rugby? So I guess this doesn't actually mean that he's going to be waiting 5 years to play for Scotland, although it would seem like a strange move.
Yes. Slightly. But you never know. But that's what's going on at Edinburgh. Glasgow chipped in with a couple of re-signings. Second row, Kieran McDonald and winger Rutu Tagivi, that's what I'm going for, have signed until 2020. Pretty decent squad signings.
I quite like the look of Kieran McDonald when he's played in the second row. He's an absolute bit of a unit, still quite young. And from what I've seen to Tagivi, it's a difficult one because he's far too good for Prem 1.
Yeah.
Like, he just runs through players in that league, but he hasn't been given much of a shot. In Pro 14?
He said in the announcement that he was really grateful of like Ben Cairns and the team down at Curry for getting him back to fitness. So it's possible that he's not really had a string of sort of fitness to challenge that that Glasgow team.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like a bit of a donkey when he plays. Like, he's clearly like an athletic guy.
Yeah.
But he's he's not the most kind of, I don't think he's the most naturally gifted of players, but look, he's obviously done enough, so good to see what he can do over the next sort of 2 years.
Absolutely. Someone who's not coming north of the border, despite many rumours, is Scotland international and Leicester back row Luke Hamilton. Jamie Lyle has seems to be ruling that one out. It always did seem that it was possibly a little bit too much money, and we've got a lot of youngsters coming through there. Maybe just too many bodies.
It just doesn't really make a lot of sense at Edinburgh to put, if you got a set amount of cash to spend, to put it towards another flanker.
Yeah.
When there's so many other sort of pressing matters. Well, not so many, but there's
and
a few.
And actually some very talented youngsters coming through there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think bringing in Luke Hamilton, it would have made more sense if the rumour had been that he was going to Glasgow.
Yeah.
Oh, we also missed that Grayson Hart signed for Worcester.
Did we miss that?
Yeah, for the rest of the season. He's gone from Ealing.
Oh, into the end of the season?
Yeah.
All right. That's not that interesting.
Alan Solomons continues
so weird.
To build up his army of Scottish men.
Well, the Trojan horse is off there.
Grayson Hart kept out Aaron Smith in the New Zealand under-20s World Cup winning team.
Really?
Yeah, he started in the final. Aaron Smith was on the bench.
I should realise that.
Anyway.
That is mad. And possibly the most significant re-signing news since we were last here, Mark Dodson, the chief executive of the Scottish Rugby Union, has re-signed his contract until 2023. He's had a pretty significant impact on Scotland. Alan, what's your take?
Yeah, I think Mark Dodson's done a good job. And I think in terms of, he's taken the low-hanging fruit early doors. I think everyone knew that Murrayfield needed to be made a better sort of stadium experience. And I think it was quite obvious when you compared it to the other rugby unions that Scotland were quite far behind in terms of being a commercial powerhouse. Mm. And I think the next 5 years is where the real, real tough work
absolutely
comes in terms of we're below the pro teams. It's probably not fit for purpose in a professional era.
Yeah, and we are going to come on to talk
and
about
we are going to come on to that,
what he is doing in the Super Six.
But in terms of just the amount of history involved, I just think it's going to be such a tough job over the next couple of years. Yeah. But I think you can see from the way he talks, he's obviously like a very sort of direct sort of character, and it's probably the exact sort of character they probably need to drive something like this through.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think he's earned his contract extension. I think he's done a pretty good job. I think he's well regarded. As you say, it just remains to be seen how that sort of structural change to the club game will work, because in the last 3 months or so, it seems as if he's sort of maybe put a few noses out of joint, and that sort of honeymoon period, as it were, might slightly be over when it comes into all these changes he's making.
It was just good that he listened to our campaign for card machines at Murrayfield.
Well, exactly.
That was the real highlight of his tenure so far, to see those in for the Six Nations.
His background was he worked for Stagecoach.
I think so, yeah.
So I guess it's kind of when he was brought in, I kind of felt that the reason he was being brought in was because he was obviously this commercially successful character.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think he actually had much of an affinity for kind of Scottish rugby, or specifically sort of grassroots Scottish rugby. So it kind of feels like he was the perfect man to get through that sort of commercial mindset. But whether he's the right guy to do what is probably sort of phase two of this sort of broader plan, I'm not 100% sold on. But I'd love to be proved wrong.
And we will come on to that plan in much more detail in a Thistley issue number 2 when we look at what is the latest on the Super Six. But Alan, let's take us back to the best Saturday night of your life, sitting on your own, watching Edinburgh Cardiff on your iPhone, watching them go down 20-6 and crashing out of the European Challenge Cup. So talk us through the highlights, if you will.
Pepperoni Domino's pizza, number one highlight.
That's pretty good.
Snack size mini eggs, number 2 highlight. And
Diet Iron Brew.
And the no, can't get to Iron Brew. No. Or and the Netflix documentary that I had to pause during the game was the third highlight of the evening. So, but no, it was a pretty. I think it was actually probably the worst Edinburgh game I've seen this season since the Treviso loss at home.
Yeah.
It was one of these games where Edinburgh just never really seemed to sort of get anything going. I actually thought the two poorest players on the pitch were probably Nathan Fowles, but he had a bit of a shocker just in general. And then Van der Vaart, who just really struggled both kind of to control the game from passing, but also just his kicking was sort of relatively poor. And the only player on the pitch who looked to be on the ball was Blair Kinghorn, who literally just looks like an absolute world-class player every time
he got
the ball.
That's good.
And sort of the key matchup and where I thought Edinburgh might get an upper hand was in the back row, where you have had obviously Hardy, Mata and Bradbury. And to be honest, Navidi specifically, but also Jenkins and Nick Williams on the Cardiff back row, absolutely dominated. And they just couldn't, and from there, just couldn't get anything going.
It's a bit of a lesson for the Edinburgh team, that sort of knockout rugby. That's their first sort of this burgeoning Edinburgh team's first encounter of it, and they've fallen at the first hurdle. But young team, it's been a decent campaign in any case, would you say?
Yeah. And it's almost probably a blessing in disguise for them to be able to sort of, I don't know, concentrate on the Pro 14 and make sure that they sort of carry on their sort of league form until the end of the season.
To think on Thursday night we were talking about whether we were just gonna back ourselves and get to Bilbao because Edinburgh were gonna meet us there.
I was ready to book tickets.
I was really keen.
I believed it.
Believe the hype, and that's actually what Richard Cockerell sort of said. He said. That maybe on Saturday we started to think about what happens if we get to a semi and getting ahead of ourselves. I don't think we are quite good enough as a group to be doing that yet. I think that's a pretty fair assessment. Mm.
And that's two quarterfinal losses in a row. Lost to La Rochelle last year.
Although that game was much better last year, I'd say.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I didn't watch the Cardiff game, but last year was okay at least.
Yeah. I actually think it was a poor performance, and I think still with the quality of players that Edinburgh have, there's still just not enough depth or quality in certain positions. Mm. And that really, really told at the weekend. And to be fair, actually, the whole back line outside of Kinghorn had no real cutting edge. Like, Bennett was really, really quiet.
Really?
Van der Merwe had absolutely nothing of the ball.
You talked a lot on the Twitter feed, at least, about Nathan Fowles. Do you think that scrum half position is quite weak for Edinburgh at the moment, particularly with Hidalgo Klein heading out in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, it's with Hidalgo Klein going out, to be fair, Sean Kennedy, when he came on, looked a lot better and gave us sort of slightly more control. I think there's obviously the key points we've chatted about with Nathan Fowles before, where actually I don't think his distribution is that good, and he's quite slow when it comes to sort of passing and kicking. And then, to be fair, I just felt really terrible for him because Cardiff kicked a ball over and he tried to look at it and then he turned around and it just bounced off his head.
Falcon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's something that can happen to anyone, but you just look like, and it's within that sort of whole performance, it just stood out so much.
Yeah.
But
I think it is a good point, though, that I think Edinburgh need to make another signing there because it's not. I mean, you need three scrum halves anyway. Charlie Sheil has been signed, but
yeah,
you can't expect him to be chucked in at the deep end. So they need someone.
Because there were still the rumours about the supposed Kiwi 9 that was meant to be being signed.
I think we made them up.
Did we just make that up? That sounds like something we might do.
That's where the best rumours come from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's just one of those games. Look, it happened. Forget about it. Let's concentrate on the league. And move on. Yeah.
Strong finish to the league, and then next year they'll get their new home on the back pitches of Murrayfield, or will they?
Ooh.
I'm just hearing they're having a little bit of an issue with the environment agency in Scotland.
I'd love it if they just ended up having to go back to Myerside.
What are they disturbing environmentally on the back pitches of Murrayfield? It's an artificial pitch. What's living on there? The nematodes.
Flooding, mate. It can flood.
It's next to the river. I think it's because it's next to there's the river.
Has that bit ever flooded before?
Water leaf has ever flooded.
Who knows, but we will see.
It's from the water.
I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
there's a picture between it.
I'm pretty sure it is going to be something they're going to get over, but at the moment there's some paperwork that they're having to fill in. But anyway, we will move on from that and look at another administrative nightmare for the SRU. and ask, what is the latest on the Super 6? So it was announced over the weekend that 12 teams have submitted applications for franchises. They are Ayr, Boroughmuir, the Curry Chieftains, as broken on the Twitter, on the Thistle Twitter feed. They called us fake news. Hello to you, Curry Chieftains. Dundee, Edinburgh Accies, Gala, Glasgow Hawks, Hoyk, Heriot's, Melrose, Stirling County, and my beloved Watsonians. So, lads, Alan, I've seen you've had your nose in the franchise guide. You are up to speed on what is going on with the Super Six. Why don't you give us a bit of a rundown of what your thoughts are?
I'm firstly just really upset that no other teams followed Curry and we didn't get like Melrose Eagles or something, like some sort of great franchise name going around.
Maybe they'll do it when they maybe they'll do it when they actually get announced or something like that.
Yeah.
Which is happening on the 1st of May, by the way, so it's not very far away.
Mm. No, it's not.
So they've got one, they've had the sort of bids for only about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Before they make a choice.
And this committee brought together by with about 6 or 7 people. So it's Bill Gamel is leading it.
Yeah.
Ex-Nail in Scotland player. And then obviously...
Conflict of interest or...
Potential conflict of interest. Obviously Gregor Townsend on the committee as well. And I'd love to see what would happen if Gala got it ahead of Melrose for the franchise. But no, so obviously the Super Six looking to in 2019 pool together sort of 6 teams that would play each other 3 times, and then the plan was to have some cross-border games, but now that the B&I Cup has been disbanded, it's not actually clear what those cross-border games...
Yeah, I was reading the document, it said they were planning to play 20 games every season.
Yeah, so they're planning to play each other 3 times, which seems a bit excessive when you've got 6 teams, so that takes you up to 15. And there was a bit of chat that they might play some like Welsh under like 23.
Yeah, I think Wales are restructuring their league as well.
But it feels like in a league where you don't have relegation to play each other 3 times, especially in the when you get to the sort of third go and there's teams that can't reach the can't become like winners, it's going to be so like just boring to watch.
Exactly, it's going to be very difficult, and it's something that, you know, they want to build these franchises with one set home in order to get people watching it and get a little bit of buy-in on it. Mm. But if you're only ever seeing the same teams coming round,
yes,
very regularly, it's not that, it doesn't sound that exciting as a spectator.
No, and obviously they guess they just felt that 6 teams was the maximum amount that they could financially cope with.
Mark Dodson wanted an 8 when he first...
Oh, really?
He wanted a Super 8 when he first arrived. And I believe there's a great 2-part interview on the Offside Line with Mark Dodson where he says that he wanted a Super 8 when he arrived, but they weren't happy with that, or they didn't think they had the infrastructure for it. They've set it on a 6, but he wants to prove the concept and then grow it, obviously.
Okay, got you.
So
hopefully you don't have the playing base for that either.
I mean, that's a question for beyond 2023, anyway, I expect.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I mean, out of those 12 teams, who do you think are the ones that are most likely to end up getting picked?
I think that Melrose have surely got the sort of monopoly on the borders, if there is a single borders franchise.
Yeah.
Just because they have the best side, very good playing facilities, and they have the financial backing from the Sevens. That we've been building on for a while.
Are they actually getting a artificial pitch? I know they're trying to raise funds for one.
I haven't heard. I don't know.
Because I was reading the franchise document, and there is a portion which talks about facilities, and it mentions World Rugby approved artificial pitches will essentially be looked on very favourably in terms of these franchises being dished out.
Which is all well and good, but we were talking about this before, and none of those teams there, as far as I know, have artificial pitches.
And Brackies aren't putting in a fake one at Raeburn Place.
This is why they were chatting about putting a team at Spartans.
Yes.
Because they had that artificial pitch there. They obviously just feel like to get the quality of rugby in winter that they want, you need to have an artificial pitch.
If Dundee were successful, part of Dundee's bid might be that they can go and train at St Andrews, for example.
Yeah.
4G. I don't know.
I'm all for the idea of getting more 4Gs in Scotland, so there's more places to play rugby. But
that's another completely different question.
Somebody's going to have to pay for them at some point.
Mm. Each team needs to have 35 players.
35 players, salary cap per player of 12,000.
Which, when you think that there is some Premiership players at the moment that are getting paid
three or four times that,
they're just going to leave.
You would think.
I mean,
12 grand.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. No player playing in this league will be a full-time player, which is actually going to be different from the current setup, where you genuinely get players who could almost just be full-time players.
Or development officers or something, or helping the club when they can.
I suppose that is the point that he's making, is they're going to be part-time professionals.
So I think there's been an evolution in that phrase, though, because I think when it was first chucked out, it was, let's say, two-thirds fully professional, one-third semi-professional. So, as Dodson's also said, that there's going to be a zero-tolerance policy for payments at the below Super 6 level.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you're a guy who genuinely a lot of your living, making your living, depends on playing a good level of rugby, whether you just completely leave the country.
I think almost definitely. If you know you're not Scottish
people as well as Antipodeans. Whatever.
Yeah, if you know you're not going to get a Glasgow or Edinburgh contract, let's look at like Rory Hutton, for example. He's probably getting paid more than that, or used to get paid more than that.
Yeah, and
possibly
you get paid quite a lot at Watson's.
And why, if his maximum earning potential is 12 grand, then it probably
and he's got to train far more.
Yeah, if you've got to train far more, it's probably more likely that you're going to just move to like Doncaster or play in like National League One, where you can get probably paid 30 or 40 grand.
There was also a great advertisement for these guys going from amateur, semi-pro to, a bit more serious. And it was there's a video of the Gala Sevens final between Jed Forrest and Gala at the weekend, which Jed won. And the Jed coach is getting interviewed, and in the background, you've got one of the Jed Gala players just having a fag just by the stadium. It's so good.
I feel that we've...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We've slipped into our traditional negative mindset and we're focusing on the bad things. Let's look at this another way. Is this reordering, and something that Dodson's been pretty punchy about in his comments to the press, is this mass reordering of the amateur game in Scotland absolutely necessary?
If you look at it through the lens of Premiership rugby is there to be a feeder league to the pro teams, then absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the High Performance Centre, SU, says it's not fit for purpose. Mm. Quite enjoy that. Alan Roland said the domestic layer was terrible and that World Rugby couldn't put their referees into it.
Yeah.
So if you look at it through that lens of the Premiership is a feeder league for professional rugby, then he's absolutely right. My issue with it is I think there's a lot of people who have given a lot of their time to Premiership rugby, either... Mm-hmm. working or supporting or playing, who don't see Premiership Rugby as a feeder league to the professional game. But I think when you look at it through that lens that Dodson's obviously has to look at it, he's absolutely correct.
Do you think that Super 6 and then the league below it, the Championship, I believe they're calling it, can they coexist happily together, do you think?
I think that's the real question.
Or are we lacking in player base?
I think it's just, once again, there is a lack of players, and I think that will just create a massive gap between the haves and the have-nots. And that's why it sounds as if basically every single club is trying to be part of an application. Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard that Stu Mel trying to get in the coattails of a Harriet Saraki's bid as well. And I'm sure it's happening in the Borders clubs. I'm sure that Selkirk and Jed Forrest have been like, well, we're going to get completely left behind if we're not part of Melrose.
Having to delve into borders, rugby, politics, put together amalgamations of a
don't
site.
Don't you think Stuart Melville, for example, should be like, look, we're not for the next 5 years, we're not going to be one of the top six teams. Let's try and see how we can do in this league. We don't have to play any players, so we can get our finances in order. And then when franchises come up, they inevitably will, then look to kind of go on in the future.
It's an initial five-year franchise contract, which they're going to be asked to sign.
Yeah, it feels like a lot of teams are getting FOMO.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the way Dodson talks about it, he's like, there are the big clubs that are definitely going to go for it, and then there's the smaller clubs that realise that is just too much for us, we're just going to focus on our amateur league. What he says is he's concerned about the clubs in the middle,
yeah,
who think they could maybe go for it, or there's issues within them and they don't really know what to do. And yeah, they're the ones that he's concerned about sort of dropping off.
Mm. My issue is South Edinburgh, where you've got Watsonians, Boroughmuir and Curry.
Yeah.
And inevitably, if they don't do a joint bid, one of those teams is going to get picked. And they're all kind of the same. Like, they've all got relatively similar fan bases, similar size fan bases. They've kind of done similar kind of well over the last 10 years. And it's kind of, it seems harsh to just pick one and then they kind of take it all, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I agree. And someone like Watsonians, if they didn't get it, because they don't have like a mini rugby feeder, I suppose, because, you know, Watson's, there's a Watson's mini rugby team on a Sunday, then where are their players coming from? They'll just go to Curry or Boroughmuir.
There certainly used to be.
I don't think there is anymore, though, really.
Yeah.
And those guys will just go to Curry anyway, or Boroughmuir. Sure. So where are your players coming from?
Yeah.
I think it could just completely kill some clubs. We've gone negative again.
We've gone.
But
we tried.
I think, you know, trying to put a more positive slant on it, there's a lot of ifs and buts, but if you can get some sort of stable franchises that can exist over 5 years and you start developing the level of training and the strength and conditioning and the performance analysis or whatever, and it translates onto the pitch, then you could have a league that does make a lot more sense as a bridge, which is the whole idea of it. It's not trying to be anything else.
That's one thing I do like. I really admire the vision of is trying to instill that, getting people to understand that level you've got to perform at for professionalism, be that as a player or as a coach or as a physio or as a strength and conditioning coach, and just really raising that standard across the whole of like Scottish rugby. I think that's a pretty noble vision. I think it's pretty good. I think that you just hit the nail on the head, though, is can you get six teams financially stable for a number of years to actually begin to build that? Because that's what you need. You essentially need that five-year period to stick fast.
Which exactly. For it to be sustainable makes a lot of sense. But whether these clubs can be self-sustaining without having to go cap in hand to the SRU for five whole years, they have to stump up a lot of money annually for their playing budget and running facilities, whatever. I don't know. That's quite a big ask. If you get teams dropping out, and maybe that'll happen, and then you get a franchise comes up for a bid.
What about the spread of the teams? They have to. Yes, so you said they have to pick one team, at least one team from all four regions: Glasgow, Edinburgh, Borders, and Caledonia. There's no Aberdeenshire franchise, after Mark Dodson, I believe, said in the press that he was pretty sure that he couldn't see a way in which an Aberdeen side wouldn't be involved. So I think the Caledonia one by
Stirling and Dundee
goes to Stirling and Dundee.
Yeah, and I suspect they probably do want a Dundee bid, just because Dundee and Aberdeen are sort of the next two biggest cities. So you'd want to have one franchise in either the third or fourth biggest city. But it feels like Stirling County as a setup is just so much stronger than Dundee High.
I also think Stirling University is obviously like the centre for Scottish sports excellence as well.
Yes.
So you could definitely see some synergies there in terms of facilities and using that as a way to attract good rugby players.
Yeah.
They can get a degree, they can play very good quality rugby. In that sense, you could see it actually working.
Somewhere along the
model of Loughborough having their Loughborough students team playing in National One as well.
Yeah.
Which could work very well. Dundee, similar, they've got a huge student base as well.
Three different institutions.
Yeah.
So that you could see that working quite well. What about the Glasgow split? You think Ayr will take one, almost certainly.
Air will get one. Hawks will get one.
You think?
Almost certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think
that
makes sense.
I think it makes sense. I generally can't see it past Melrose, Hawks, Air, Sterling, and two Edinburgh. But I don't know what the Edinburgh will be.
The Edinburgh's the big one, isn't it? Because there's such a huge population of rugby clubs in Edinburgh. Mm.
Yeah. Hawks are absolutely cruising. They're just like, who the fuck else is going to be?
But then I was reading it as sort of that point exactly, that Hawks, in a sense, are kind of like a franchise.
Yeah.
They got set up and they're an amalgamation of, you know, Kelvin Side and Glasgow Ackies and all these different clubs. And Hawks did very well at the start, but since then have been a bit of a yo-yo team. I mean, they're going to be in the relegation playoff this year as well.
Yeah.
And
they've got an animal name. Franchise.
That's true.
They were so early to it.
Yeah, they knew what was coming.
So, yeah, whether that'll work, I don't know. Because it hasn't really worked historically.
So suppose your big headaches are Edinburgh, and then can you get a second franchise out of the borders?
Yeah, I just don't think you can get two franchises out of the borders.
I'd be surprised if you could.
And one franchise in Edinburgh, just because of how strong Edinburgh are in the Premiership at the moment, when you've got Curry, Boroughmuir, Watsonians, Heriots, Ackies getting promoted.
Yeah.
It just feels like that's got to be where two of the teams come from.
And you've got like a massive, the second biggest town with probably the most rugby wealth in it as well.
Yes.
Yeah, it is the fan base as well. But I mean, what sort of crowds can you expect though? I mean, Edinburgh can barely get 5,000 to a match. You know, I think that's going to be really difficult. There's going to be tribal loyalties, the people that tip up at Mireside and Golden Acre and Millennium Park every weekend.
Yeah.
Are you going to go out and support South Edinburgh versus North Edinburgh?
Yeah, or, that's you a tough know, one.
Watsonians All Stars versus the Dirty Nails? You'd watch that. You'd definitely watch that. But we should come up with some franchise names, actually.
Let's do that, actually. That'd be good.
Yeah, let us know on Twitter what your suggested franchise names are at Thistle Rugby Pod, and we will come back to those next week.
Can I say one point?
Yes.
The one thing that annoyed me the most, I've got a real aversion to centralised control. And the fact that...
Free market libertarian.
Yeah. But the fact that the clubs can't even choose their own coach. They get an SRU-appointed coach.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. If Ayr fans, committee members hate their coach, don't like their playing style, there's literally nothing they can do about it. Their coach reports into the technical director, who reports into Scott Johnson.
Yeah.
Scott Johnson decides who gets coaches.
The thing I would say about that is that, yeah, I agree, that would be ridiculous. But it does seem as if you look at all those clubs, they do tend to have coaches that are sort of on that pathway, like Ben Cairns at Curry, Phil Smith at Heriots, Thingy Christie at Melrose.
Yeah.
But then, for example, I was saying this to you before, if Hoyt can manage to get a franchise, George Graham would be the coach. Like, he fucking hates the SRU, and I'm sure the feeling is mutual.
I'm pretty sure Peter Wright ain't getting a job through the SRU.
He's not coaching anyone at the moment.
Is he not?
Oh, well, not in that.
What's he going to do now? He's not going to be able to commentate on BBC Albert.
I know.
Just drive trucks. That is his job.
He probably is. He's going to drive trucks.
Right.
Is there anything else we want to talk about at the Super Six? I think we've done quite a bit there, but also probably not covered everything we needed to.
You know what? Whilst I think it could be a complete shit show, I'm quite excited about it.
First match.
I love the vision. Like, I really enjoyed Dodson. I actually like that he's getting out there and ruffling some feathers. At least it feels that he's come to Scottish Rugby and he's like, right, here's my big idea. Back me a bit and then let's see what happens. It feels to me that something needs to change. So.
Yeah. I still feel a little bit like this is what KPMG or Deloitte have been paid £50,000 to come into the SRU, and they have presented this back, and in presentation format it looks spectacular, but actually when it comes to real life implementation it just won't work.
Yeah.
Did you see what the Viet Gwent tweeted us?
No.
A Welsh commentator we've had on before, who is an expert at regional rugby,
knows the
history behind
everything.
The botched professional game in Wales, and he said, "Why am I not surprised that Scottish rugby is on course to copy most of the blunders already made by Welsh rugby?" Hopefully, that's not going to sort of be prophetic, but...
Well, I mean, if you look at the one example of where they tried to take basically historical club teams and turn them into franchises, it is Wales, and it's for a long time failed pretty badly.
Yeah. Well, it is one for us to watch with interest. One final point I noticed when I was reading it is that the franchises are going to be expected to create their own PR and marketing. So if you are a franchise looking for a burgeoning Scottish rugby podcast to partner up with, we are absolutely guns for hire. Yep. So, Curry Chieftains, we're coming down.
Super Six.
Oh, I'd love to be the official partner of the Super Six. Sounds great.
That sounds nice, doesn't it?
Okay, that's another thing for you to take on your to-do list, Mark Dodson. So get us on there. Alan, you have returned with a quiz.
Yeah,
why don't you give that to us?
It's quite quick and quite average. So sounds let's good. Go through
that's
it.
It's actually the perfect thing for a quiz. Go on.
How many Scottish players got Man of the Match awards during the Six Nations, and who were they?
That's a good question.
In the ESPN Fantasy League for the Six Nations, there was three Scottish players in the Fantasy Dream Team. Who are those three players?
Okay. What does ESPN actually mark you on, though? Yeah, basically just like tries and kicks and playing for a long time.
It's a real basic scoring system.
It is. It's such a rubbish game. I don't know.
And then over the Six Nations, five Scottish players ran over 50 metres in at least one game. Who were those five players? And secondly, how many times during the Six Nations did both Hogg and Hugh Jones run over 50 metres in a game?
So you've given us two answers.
Yeah, thanks
two.
So much.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
forgotten about Jones.
So what other three players okay. ran over 50 metres during the Six Nations? Useless. And of Hogg and Jones, how many times did they run over 50 metres across the five games?
The two of them together?
Each.
Okay. I think Hoggy did it in every one of them. Fine. Okay.
Right.
I've got a lot of repeat names down there.
What two player? Oh, for fuck's sake! What? How many times and what players got Man of the Match awards? During
I had two players.
I had two.
I had Grieg versus France.
You got that?
Yeah, Grieg.
Yeah.
Hugh Jones versus England?
I had Finn Russell.
Finn Russell versus England.
He got England, didn't he? You bastard.
Key yeah. Man.
That was really stupid of me.
And then who got it in the Scotland Italy game for Italy? I can't remember.
The little lad.
The fullback.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not his name, but...
Fantasy ESPN Dream Team. Three Scottish players involved. Mm. Hanny, who have you got?
I've got Stuart Hogg.
Strohog was not in
was not in
the Dream Team.
He only scored one try.
Christ. Oh, well.
I've got Grieg, Hugh Jones, and Rambo.
Grieg, Hugh Jones, and Rambo. Only Grieg.
Only Grieg.
Hugh Jones. I got Hamish Watson.
Hamish Watson wasn't in it either.
What?
So have you got none of them?
No. Barclay?
Yeah, it was Grieg, Barclay, and Johnny Gray.
Ah.
They're giving out...
Tackles.
Okay.
When you get 20...
non-dominant tackles
yeah.
stats.
When you
day.
Get 20 more tackles yeah, than anyone yeah. else, then you win a lot of awards, I guess.
All right. So I'm on two. What are you on, Matt?
Two.
Cool.
Yep.
Go on, then.
Right. Final one. Well, who were the three other players who ran over 50 metres during the Six Nations?
Quite hard, mate. I'm going to say Maitland.
Maitland is no. He ran like 49 metres in the England game.
I think Seymour had one big game over 50.
Yeah, Seymour's won.
Oh.
And I think Rambo did over 50 in one.
Rambo wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
I had Russell.
Russell is one.
Yes.
And anyone got the last one?
I had Pete Horn.
No.
I had Hamish Watson.
Blair Kinghorn.
Blair Kinghorn against England.
Against Ireland?
Against Ireland.
Oh, against Ireland. Sorry, yeah.
Missed that game as well, so doesn't count.
Just one for me. So three all.
So we're three all. How many times do you think Hugh Jones ran over 50 metres during the Six Nations?
I've got four.
I've got four as well.
Hugh Jones only had two.
Okay.
And I guess, how many times do you think Stuart Hogg?
I think Hoggy did it in every game.
Five.
Yeah, you're both correct. Oh, God damn it.
He got like 400 and something metres, so.
Yeah.
So it was a draw.
Is that a draw? Have we got a tiebreaker?
I'm just looking for a tiebreaker now.
A filler.
I don't think King Horn had got over 50 metres in there.
King Horn. yeah, I know.
He had a very good game against Ireland.
Yeah, he did.
I don't have a tiebreaker, so
I'm happy to call it.
You'll just have to call it.
Take a draw.
Happy to take that as a draw. Thank you very much, Alan. Right, last little skip through Thistle issue number three. We are looking ahead to two massive games in the run-in to the end of the Pro 14. So Edinburgh hosting Ulster at Fortress Murrayfield, and Glasgow travelling down to play last season's champions, the Scarlets. Thistle issue number three, coming to you, Matt. Can we expect wins for Edinburgh and Glasgow at the weekend?
Yeah, I think we can. I think that, yeah, maybe the Cardiff games come at the right time in terms of a loss, that you're still going into a massive match. And it's not like the end of the world if they lose this match. They can still lose their remaining three games and finish third.
Yeah.
But if they win this, if Edinburgh win this game against Ulster and Glasgow beat Scarlets, then Edinburgh go in second place, which is absolutely massive. So, yeah, I know that Ulster, Cocker was talking about it, Ulster are going to bring back their big guns, but I think Edinburgh at home, the way they've been going, maybe Murrayfield's a bit of a curse, maybe Myerside's where they need to go. But
oh, yeah.
Back to Myerside.
Fortress Myerside.
Yeah, I think they can win. And then Scarlets-Glasgow, kind of depends what team Scarlets play. They've just come back off the back of their Champions Cup semi-final, so maybe they'll rest a few players. I don't know. Maybe it's still too important for them.
Yeah.
Maybe backing up, you know, a pretty like massive match against La Rochelle, both sort of like physically and emotionally. Yeah, I can definitely see Glasgow going in, beating them, which would
you
be...
You might expect quite a strong Glasgow team to go down there as well, because they've had a week off. The week before that, they played against
Zebra,
ran 65 past them with basically none of their big Scotland players. So the Scotland boys haven't played for 3 weeks.
A lot of them are having a great time as well.
Where have they been?
Hugh Jones hanging in Dubai.
Yeah, he was hanging in Dubai with Salt Bay. Did you see that?
Yeah,
I saw that. I think Ali Price was hanging in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was that as Todd?
Maybe.
Probably didn't go on holiday.
Finn Russell was presenting at the Scottish Fashion Awards.
Oh, I saw that.
He's gone too high end. He needs to go back to his roots. And what if the stonemasons could see him now?
I know, exactly. So you might expect quite a strong Glasgow team. What about Edinburgh? Ulster are going to be bringing back players like Piatow, Rory Best, Stockdale, Ian Henderson. It's going to be a much stronger Ulster team than they beat on the road a few weeks ago. From Super Dunkey Weir's drop goal.
They've got Piatow, we've got King Horn, mate. Don't you worry about it.
Cocker's in the media today. Piatow probably cost as much as our whole back line.
If you're an Ulster fan, judging by Piatow this season, you would much rather have Blair Kinghorn. He's been pretty budget.
Yeah, he's been terrible.
Ulster have been budget this season.
Piatow looks just a bit out of shape.
And also, sorry, I should have said, as we've been recording, I've just seen this on Twitter, that the IRFU are investigating a disciplinary matter relating to Craig Gilroy, and he is not going to be available for selection for Ulster at the weekend.
What's going on in Ulster?
So more, God. More off-field troubles for Ulster, it looks. It's a one-line statement. So something is going on.
I have to admit, I could very easily see both teams losing this weekend.
Wait, you can say that every single weekend about the pro team.
But I think with... Look, the Scarlets are they're basically the Welsh team, and they just beat La Rochelle in the Champions Cup. If they put out a full-strength team, I think at home, Scarlets have got to be favourites. And I think even though this Edinburgh team have been slightly resurgent in the league, with that performance at the weekend and with some of the Ulster players that are coming back, I think Ulster have got to be favourites going into it. But
yeah, the Gilroy thing is related to the Paddy Jackson stuff.
God.
They're doing an internal review relating to some WhatsApp messages centre of the 9-week trial, so he is not going to be involved. I think we don't need to go into too much detail.
On that note, should we do some predictions and wrap up?
Let's do some predictions. I'm going to back Edinburgh to bounce back, and fuck it, I'm going big. Glasgow to win on the road down in Scarlet with a really strong team.
I'm going to go with that as well.
We're loving it.
Yeah, I think Glasgow play one of the best teams, and it'll be a bit of a test of Rennie and whether this side's actually cut out for the Pro 14, and I think they'll pass muster.
Yep. You're both still high after your long weekend wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
You're definitely not high, mate.
If you've been sat at home watching that rugby on Saturday night, true. I'm going for two losses. Cool. I think Ulster will win by about 10, and I think Scarlets will, be about a similar 10.
Well, it is one to savour, though. It is Friday night with BBC Alba. We've got to enjoy them while we've still got them.
That is
Hugh
true.
Dan. Hugh got Dan. To make the most of Hugh Dan while he's around.
Justice for.
That's the big one.
Can't wait. Praise Hugh Dan.
Praise to Hugh Dan. Well, let's wrap it up there, guys, then. Thank you very much for joining us. As we said at the top of the show, get on iTunes. Please leave us a review, 5 stars, and we will read it out on the show. Let us know your proposed franchise names on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, and follow us on Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod. Almost forgot it there. And we will see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.